desire tonight to bring your word that will bless you and encourage you, but that you'll experience him more than that. More than anything else, is that you can experience him tonight. And while preparing for tonight, I had a prophetic word. I felt I was just worshiping God, and I saw this circle, and it was a solid steel circle. And I saw this copper coil wrap around it. And a current was passed through it. And any of you guys that know anything about science is that when a piece of steel has an electric current passing around it, it becomes magnetic. And I saw that it was faintly magnetic, but it was the draw was just ever so gradual. And then I saw this copper wire wrap and bind itself tightly. You know the way you get those streamers and you turn the middle bit and you can just feel it binding up tighter and tighter and tighter. And that there's no gaps left whatsoever. And this thing would just bind itself around the steel circle and the current would pass through it and it would become intensely magnetic. And so what I wanted to share on is a bit about that prophetic word that I'm feeling is for us tonight. And the title of the sermon is the real truth about supernatural power. And I'm just going to be sharing a bit about, you can turn it so long to 1 Corinthians, but before we do that, if you could take up, we had an amazing time this morning. Man, just the times of worship and testimony and every time we come into agreement. You know what amen, it means so be it. It means when you say amen, you're saying, I'm coming into agreement with that. And when you come into agreement with something, you're actually saying, I want the same. And the Bible says, where two or more touch anything, agree on that, there it shall be done for them. And so this morning was just Steve preached on about finances and a bit about sowing and reaping. And I really want to touch on that. All I want to say is, get the sermon, go onto our website, listen to it. It's really going to transform the way you see things. And there was just, I mean, before Steve had even finished his sermon, I was listening to people just kind of like moving all around me of just being so moved by an understanding that we give out of having been blessed and that we want to respond to that. And the Bible says that in our giving, there results a thanksgiving to God. And so as we give, we're not actually saying I'm sowing and reaping. What we're saying is, wow, because you've blessed me, I want to respond and I want to see this gospel propagated, just magnified, and that's why people are giving. So if you've ever had some questions about, you know, I think Steve's gonna be preaching a couple more times on that. Download the sermon; it'll set you up nicely for the next couple of weeks. I think this couple of weeks you're gonna be doing a series on that, or who knows? Who knows? So let's take up the offering. If the guys can come up with the, that's going to be doing the offering this evening. And Lord, I just pray for, take the offering that you've, because the Bible says that you give what you've predetermined to give. And so take whatever it is that you've, if you do it electronically, that you've predetermined to click on. And if you do it tangibly, then take it in your hand. Lord, whatever it is that you've blessed us with, we want to respond. And we want to respond for the right reasons. We don't want to respond out of being driven by fear. We don't want to respond out of any manipulation. We don't want to respond out of any place other than the cross and the finished work of the cross that sets us free to do what you have called us to do. But Lord, for our lives, we have been so transformed and changed by this message. Lord, there's still so many people that haven't heard this. There's still so many people that haven't been moved and touched and been ministered to. But Lord, we know that the gospel is free, but it takes means to get it to people. And we want to sow in the right soil, and the right soil is the gospel. And Lord, we want to see many more people getting to know this message. So Lord, we know that as we're giving tonight, Lord, it results in many more people hearing of this wonderful word. There's still many people, Lord, that are going to fill up many chairs and many churches because the gospel is getting preached out, and we want to have a part to play in that. So Lord, bless the seed that we're sowing, and we want more lives to come into this kingdom through our sowing this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you? Thank you. So, well, they're busy doing that. I hope you're in 1 Corinthians. And this prophetic word that I had, you know, I've heard, I've obviously the circular metal depicts us. The coil I felt was the word of God. And I felt that obviously the electricity flowing through it was the Spirit of God. And I've heard different people comment on, you know, we should be having more word in our meetings and our gatherings. And other people saying, no, we should have more Spirit there in our meetings. And so I felt God said He wants more of both. You know, He wants more word in our lives, and He wants more space to move in our lives too. So He wants more of both. But I wanted to start with specifically with electricity, speaking about the Spirit, and I want to go to the coil, which speaks about the Word of God. And you know, our perception of the Spirit's moving is really, you know, in the sense of manifestations. You know, like if the Spirit moved, then we would see gold dust, or then we would see feathers, or then we would see people being healed. And so however the manifestations take place, that's pretty much how we're going to gauge whether the Spirit's moved or not. But I felt God saying to make clear that He is moving despite what we see or don't see. Did you get that? He is moving despite what we see or don't see. When I went through the Bible and try and divide it up between who gets more time for the instruction of the preaching of the gospel or to flow in the gifts, you come up heavily one-sided. That it's more about preaching the gospel than you get instruction. You get more instruction about preaching the true gospel than you do get instruction about flowing in the gifts. And I see Paul speaking about spiritual gifts in a couple of places, in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, Romans 12, 3 to 8, and Ephesians 4. And I want to read, don't turn there, I hope you're in 1 Corinthians, don't go anywhere. I'm going to ask the guys to bring up Romans 1. And I'm going to be reading from Romans 1, 11 to 15. Now Paul starts off and he says this, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians." I like that, barbarians. There's a couple of barbarians here tonight. "Both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." And so you've got to ask yourself, he's coming and he's saying, first of all, he's saying, I long to see that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. So what Paul is saying is that, well, when I get there, there's something that I've got that you're going to catch, that you're going to be imparted to. And so either you've got to ask yourself saying, well, was he flowing in all the gifts? That he could say, "I've got some. I've got some gifts, but I'm hoping that you'll catch something that I've got. That when I get to you, there's an impartation of gifts. That as you see something, you say, 'Yes, Lord, I want that.' And you say, 'Lord, I eagerly desire the gifts.' But as he's coming in, and as gifts will get stirred up amongst us, you see, there's an impartation, a hunger. It says, 'I'd like that, Lord. That's what I want to flow in.'" So, before I get into that, I also want to ask yourself, why does he speak so little on the spiritual gifts? Either Paul was speaking so little like if you look at the whole New Testament where Paul's writings took place, he wrote so little on the gifts. So either it was happening so often, it was a way of life for everyone, that everyone just, no, I'll just raise the dead. I'm going to walk on water. I'm going to, you know, pray for the sick. I'm gonna. So either it was happening so frequently that it really didn't need to speak too much about into those lives, or in relation to preaching the gospel, he felt that he needed to give that the most time, and say, "This is what I want you to major on, this, because when you get this, the Spirit's going to take care of this." Romans 1:11, as I said, is that he was flowing in at least the majority of the gifts, and he's wanting to share them with them according to their faith. But his preoccupation was with preaching the gospel, especially to those who are already saved. You notice that he says, "I long to preach his gospel to you who are in Rome." Right? Those are the believers that he was already writing to. And he's saying, "I want to preach this gospel to you." And often we sit down saying, "No, I've heard this message. I've heard it, and it's great and it's good, yeah, but can we move along here?" And Paul's kind of saying, "You know what? You haven't quite got it yet." He's saying, I've longed to come there and personally encourage you with the gospel message, hoping that something would be revealed in their minds and in their hearts, and things will be changed. But I don't want to get ahead too much of myself here. We used to say that if you exercise your gifts, it's like you need to start off exercising your gifts, and then as you exercise them, you'll grow in them. So as you start off with your 2 kg weight, and you build yourself up to James Preston, you're like a 20 kg weight. Eventually you get to Rain Wheeler, and you got to 200 kg weight. And as you exercise, you slowly get stronger and stronger. Now, there is some merit in saying that, but it's not entirely accurate. Number one, firstly, it's a gift. It's a gift. So you get given something. It's not something you can do to increase your gifting. It would be like this. If my son says, I don't go down to my son and say that I'm going to give him a PlayStation 3. No, wait, that's some people in the church says it could hurt them or negatively affect them. So maybe I give him a gun. No? Also not a good thing. It might negatively affect him. A Ben 10 watch. No, that's also going to might negatively affect him. What am I going to give him for Christmas? It's just everything is going to negatively affect him. But how about a bicycle? Okay, a bicycle. So I'm going to give him a gift of a bicycle. But if he uses it often enough, if he really does, I'm going to blow up the tires for him. I'm going to inflate the tires. And if he really does that often enough, I might even give him a seat. And if he's been working hard at that gift and he's been trying really hard with that bicycle and I've blown up the tires and I'm going to give him a seat so he's actually not going to hurt himself, you know, then I'm going to really bless him and give him a set of brakes. Can you see that's just the wrong understanding of what a gift is? But we kind of sat down and say, no, I can't prophesy anymore. Yeah, I used to, but you know, the analogy was, I was really buff in my prophetic word. I could give it, yeah. But then I neglected myself, and I'm a jockey's whip. Now I can't prophesy accurately because I haven't been exercising my gifting, so I'm not going to. And people shy back, and they withdraw. Say, no, God's taken my gift away. Because God gives His gifts, and He takes them away, so clearly I haven't been able to use it. I'm saying, that's not the understanding that I've got. Hey, my boy, if you don't use that bicycle, I'm going to deflate your tires again. And I'm going to take the seat away, and then there's going to be no brakes. And then I'm going to take the whole gift away. It's contrary to the nature of the God that I know. Right? But we see that I used to be able to pray for people and things happen. But now I haven't been exercising it so much. So now I'm getting weaker and weaker at this thing. See, I'd like to say this. It's a subtle change in emphasis. It's not how often we use our gifts so we can upgrade them for better ones, but rather how we use our gifts so we can get new ones. It's not that we use our gifts. If I could just prophesy often enough, then maybe God will let me walk on water. You know, it's really kind of just saying, I'm not going to prophesy until eventually I can give words of knowledge and words of wisdom. But I'm going to prophesy just because it's a gift and it's not for me. It's for everyone. And when I understand this, that it's a gift, Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts. So maybe one day you'll be walking on water. Maybe you'll be translocated. I felt, you know, that fire tunnel we had last night. I'm going through it and I'm doing some kind of thing. I don't know what I was doing here. And I felt God just say, pack your bags, get dressed in the right outfit, because I'm going to translocate you from one venue to another by the Spirit. And you're going to preach in a different part of the world. In your lifetime, you will see this. And I said, He said, do you want that? I said, I want that. He says, but your family can't come with you. I said, I'm okay with that. I'll fly them out afterwards. Even if I can't find my way back. And I started saying, no, Paul was translocated. Why take boats? Why spend thousands of rands? Why spend thousands of hours trying to get to a destination where we could just sit down and just and say, Lord, this is a gift. You are the gift. But out of the places of just enjoying you, that we minister one to another, Lord, that you would bless us with so much more than what we could ever dream for or hope for, that we could. What about you? What if you were translocated by the Spirit? Next minute, you're in Uzbekistan. Now, that's not so nice. We'd rather go to Sydney or, you know, Miami or... At least translocate me somewhere where there's where I'm above water, you know. Don't have any underground cities. See, I was using my gift, I really was, and this is just being vulnerable with you, is that I was using, if I could just bless them, God, then they would see that you're using me. See, the focal point, the end part there was me. Lord, just use me so that people can see that you're using me. And it wasn't about that. It really, God had to bring me back to a place of saying, what's the real, as I said, the title of my sermon, the real truth about supernatural power. What is the real reason for that? See, now I'm seeing other people in a different light. I'm moved by love now, and I want my gift to bless other people. Now I don't just have an upgraded bicycle with the whole bells and whistles. I've been given something that's far more greater than that the English language can't even comprehend or give an expression to. Your gift hasn't been removed. That one that you haven't been using for a long time, that one that you know God has given you, that hasn't been removed by the Holy Spirit. It's been put under cover. You know, when you leave something for long enough, it just gets covered up. It says, no, I'm going to keep this. So when you want to, it's there for you to just pick up and start all over again, like you've just left it the day you left it behind. So what I'm doing tonight is I'm wanting to encourage you that that Satan will use this to rob you from the courage, from the boldness, from the everything that you had before, the faith that you had to be able to flow in that gifting. And when you take that cover off and say, right, today, right now, tomorrow, whenever it is, that opportunity that comes, I'm going to ride that bicycle so hard because I'm motivated by the right spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul starts off by saying, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. So I'm reading out of the New King James. So, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. See, now there were obviously some manifestations that were taking place. People were moving in the gifts that the Corinthian church were asking Paul, saying, what about this? There's some stuff going on here and we're not too sure. That looks freaky. There's some freaky stuff that happens here every now and again. People say, whoa, I don't know so much. What is that? So Paul, in a big, broad stroke, just wipes this whole big starting up. He says, spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. And he puts up this first color. The first color is this. He says, no one can say that Jesus is cursed and still be filled with the Spirit. And no one can say Jesus is Lord unless they are moved by the Spirit. So there's some people that might need a little bit of guiding. And he goes on to guide people. And this is how you can look at it with a spiritual gifting. But if someone comes up here and they're doing stuff or they're saying stuff and they're putting 18-inch Meg wheels to sit up on the wall just by praying, say, whoa, I don't know so much. I don't know if this is God. First stroke is, do they say Jesus is Lord? Is that for His glory? If they are, then the Spirit of God is living in them. The Spirit of God is living in them. So give them a little space. I'm not saying go in judging this is what it is going to be. If you don't witness with it, that's okay. And we'll see a bit more about how he carries on from here. See, this was causing some division amongst the believers. And they wanted to know from Paul, what is the truth? What's the truth about how these gifts and how they're supposed to be worked out here? Turn to 1 Corinthians 13:13. Because if you go to some people and you say, now I want to speak to you about the gifts of the Spirit, they'll say, yeah, I know that, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. But they miss out the whole middle section. And he's speaking about the body and how they fit together. And about how people are, you know, that we can't say, no, I'm an ear, you're an eye, I don't need you, you're a hand, you're a stomach, you're a toenail, you're what's under the toenail. You know, and so people were kind of saying, no, hang on, no, we're not them, we're not like them. And so right between the middle of spiritual gifts, he says, no, this, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, And then 1 Corinthians 14, he goes and he speaks a bit more about spiritual gifts, but right, he talks about prophecy and tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, but you've got to be doof to not look at 1 Corinthians 13 and say, right in the middle of spiritual gifts, he puts this passage speaking about you're all one body. Don't start drawing lines in the sand saying, hey, we believe in this. We draw a line and say, that is truth to me. And if you don't come across this line, you don't have the truth. Look what he says here. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You notice that nowhere in that scripture do you see truth. Nowhere do you see, no, hang on a sec here now. You've got to find out what is right and do what is right. His first stroke of paint that he put up was, you know what, if guys are saying Jesus is Lord, the Spirit of God lives in them. He's just been speaking in the last two chapters about how we're supposed to relate one to another in the body. See, people are putting such a value on truth. Now, this is right and that is wrong. At the expense of the relationships within the body, and Paul's saying, no. See, he does refer, the scriptures do speak of truth, but it's in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way of love. He is the truth of love. He is the life of love. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth about the Father. He is the life that is within the Father. And so, a lot of times people sit down drawing lines in the sand saying, well, if you don't agree with this doctrine and this thing, and you say, I'm going to raise that above the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying if someone says Jesus wasn't 100% God and 100% man, there's some things that you've got to say, well, how can you say that by the Spirit of God? Because what they're actually saying is that Jesus was, they're denying the deity of Jesus. Those things, that's the foundation, that's the rock of what we build our faith on. But I'm talking about the smaller things here. I'm talking about, well, I don't know so much about these gifts. I don't know so much about those things, about the manifestations that you're seeing. I don't know so much about the little things. He's saying, don't major on what your perception of truth is. Because you know what? Our perception of truth has radically changed in the last 3 years. What we would have stood on and fought for and died for and bled for has changed. And we're going, oh, okay, so I was wrong. Yeah, I'm going to fight for this, die for this. Ooh, I was wrong. Sorry about that. And then we go into, I want to fall for and die for and bleed for. And we might be wrong. Oh, no ways. And it's good that you have convictions. It's good that you have beliefs, because that is what is the essence of faith. But not at the expense of relationships. And he goes on so much about that. You see, people are going to differ in their perspective of truth, but not at the expense of relationships, to find out who really has the truth. Because we can see in grace, number one, that this is for earthly benefits. That's what this is really about. You don't see a need in heaven for healing. You don't see a need in heaven for the word of knowledge. You don't see a need in heaven for people to be set free from bondage, from things of life. This grace, this gospel message is for this life. It's for here on earth. And if people say, well, I don't want to accept that grace, but they still profess to be a Christian, saying Jesus is Lord, you're going to see them again. You'll see them in heaven, and they'll be going, okay, I didn't realize the grace covered that much. So the grace that we're experiencing now and the power that we're experiencing now is for this life, not that life. So enjoy this life with the fullness that the cross has paid for. See, we want everyone to change their version of truth. And I realized that God wasn't in so much of a hurry to re-reveal grace to me, because He has revealed grace in the person of Jesus. And throughout history, we see a re-revelation, just opening up hearts and minds. But in my life, I'm saying, God, why didn't you give this to me 20 years ago? 5 years ago? Why weren't you in so much of a hurry? But we want to put that same measure of hurry, hurry, hurry on other people. And if people reject it and say, actually, I don't want to know about it, you say, okay, I still love you. I'm still here for you. You know what's amazing about all of this instructing on the gifts that Paul has just done in 1 Corinthians? He goes on and he finishes off, he jumps right back into the cross again in 1 Corinthians 15, speaking about the resurrection. And so people are saying, I don't know if I want, you know, the more move of the Holy Spirit and more move of the preaching of the Word. And God's saying, I want both. I want you to, as you've just experienced this instruction and this flow in the Holy Spirit of gifts and signs and wonders, go right back to the cross. Hey, go right back to the cross. And I wanted to speak a bit about the coil. Remember the coil? I just saw itself binding itself tighter and tighter onto that piece of metal. The coil for me, the gaps between the coils speak about us having to renew our mind. Because there's some things that when the love of God so binds itself around our heart, there's no room for doubt. There's no room. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear of man, fear of failure. So when you come to flowing in the gifts, there's no room for fear. There is just the love of God. I'd like to ask musicians to come up. Actually, can I just ask Heather? Where's Heather? She, not here. Johnny, can you come up? I just want one person. Really, because I feel like there's a time for ministry that's going to come up now. And I want as much people to just experience God as I begin to share on this. We're going to be doing communion just now. But before I get into that, I just want to share a little bit of a testimony. When I was growing up, there was so much nonsense that happened in my home that I really felt that love was a figment, and I really believe this, that love was a figment of people's imagination, that what they really were seeing, they were all being deceived as to what love is really about. And people sing of love and they pretend as though they're in love, but the reality is inside the people inside my family's hearts, there was nothing but anger and bitterness and contempt for everything and everybody. And it was just me, myself, and I. And I felt like I was all alone in this world trying to say, well, hey, if I'm going to live up in this world, I'm going to have to grow strong in myself, and I'm going to have to fight for what is mine, and I'm going to have to draw lines in the sand so you're not coming into my life. And so the older I grew, the more I got hurt, the more I got messed up, the more I started becoming more aggressive, more angry towards just the concept of life. How could life be this miserable? And when Michelle spoke to me about the love of God, that unconditionally He would accept me, despite all my messed up past, despite my attitude towards Him, despite all of those things, He is so in love with me. Michelle led me to the Lord, and I remember just from being quite a clinical decision, like, I know this is a step that I need to take to give my life to God. I landed up being so overwhelmed with tears because I couldn't believe that some God, out there God, would be so intimately interested in my being, who I am, and love me for who I was and not what I was doing. And I cried and I cried and I cried from being this, was the first crack of this super hard heart where the love of God just came in and said, let me show you the truth about love. See, this whole thing about the gifts is that Paul starts to say, if you do this but you have not love, you're nothing. If you do this and you have not love, you have nothing. And I felt this binding of the Word of God, this gospel that we preach, is really about us getting a deeper revelation of how intensely in love the Father is with us. And we shy away from certain things and saying, I can see what you're trying to do, Jim. You're trying to manipulate into this moment. I'm just trying to be real with you. I'm not trying to manipulate or fabricate anything. I really pray for the love of the Father to come and minister to each and every one of us. And this gospel message is so unique to each and every one of us that it pulls, God knows exactly our past, and it pulls on certain heartstrings, certain aspects of the cross, that certain things we respond to, we get restored, and God restores our hearts and minds. And I felt the love of Father just kind of coming around each and every single person tonight, to the point of where it's not about who has the truth. It's not about should we flow in the gifts, should we spend more time on the gospel. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. I pick up my boys every day and I hold them. And I can't get enough of them. I miss them when I'm with them. I'm like, I miss you, but you're right here. Saying, if this is how I feel as an earthly father towards my son, how much more does a Father in heaven intensely love us? That there is nothing that could cause His eyes to step away from our eyes. There is nothing that could cause His gaze to be distracted for one minuscule moment from being absolutely captivated with us. It's not about the things that we think it is about. It's really about Him wanting to love us. I'm going to ask those that are doing communion this evening to just come forward. We're going to take up the elements. This gospel. See, Paul, right in the beginning, he says, so that we could be for our mutual encouragement. I'm going to hijack some people tonight. And I'm going to ask some people, what is it about this gospel message, this love of the Father? See, my dad, I went up to him when I was just got saved and I said, Dad, can I tell you a bit about what's changed my life? Can I tell you a bit about why I've made the decisions I have? And my dad's a 100% atheist. And he said to me, I'd rather you don't. And I said, okay. But if he ever came down from the UK and he sat me down and he said to me, what amazes you about the love of God? What amazes you about the love of God? What would I say? And some of you, I really believe, are going to have the opportunity to speak to family members and friends that you've been trusting God for a long time. And they're going to come up to you and say, what amazes you about this love? And we're going to mutually encourage one another tonight as we partake of the communion. I want to ask that you think about that. That you'd be able to come up. I want to ask some people just to come up and say, this is what amazes me. That we could encourage each other about this glorious gospel, this lovely message, this Father's love. So we could just close our eyes. Holy Spirit, this is all. This whole night has not sprung upon you, and you have been unaware of what's about to happen. You were here before we even got here, and your heart is to minister the love of God abroad to many, many hearts, to heal hearts, to restore hearts, to heal bodies, minds, and souls. The desire of your heart is to see the love of the Father revealed to us. But before we get into glorifying our Father, into exalting His name, into thanking Him for His love that has transformed and changed us, we want to give glory, and we want to give love, and we want to give praise and thanks to Jesus. For without Him, we would have nothing. Without Him, we would not be children of God. The Scriptures say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the children of God." And there's a sense of beholding this love. There's a sense of saying, "You have adopted us. We recognize that You have adopted us and brought us into Your home, but it's because of this love, and let us just behold this love." This love is in the person of Jesus Christ. This love was manifest here on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, let Your love fall upon us. Baptize us in Your love. Lord, for there is nothing that we can do without a baptism of Your love. I've been preaching from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 11. It speaks about the Lord's Supper. "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" And I'd like to say, it doesn't matter how much you break, but if you feel comfortable with someone that's next to you, would you break the bread? We can often just, it gets a little bit clinical and feels a bit out there, but they used to break bread together. Literally used to take the bread and break it. And so if you feel comfortable with this, only if you feel comfortable with this, would you just break it with someone and they can break bread with you? Lord, we do this in remembrance of You. We break bread. We recognize that it was Your body that was broken. Broken, broken, broken. And we remember You. In the same manner, He took the cup. See, this is a cup of the new covenant in My blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And do you know what? As we take this evening, Jesus says, "I'm longing for the day when I can drink of this again with you." You know that right now He's saying, "Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait till I can celebrate with my brothers and sisters." So Lord, we drink of this cup and we long for that day too. And we want to tell You that we miss You. Even though You're right here with us, just as I looked into my son's eyes and I miss them, even though they're right here with me, there's a longing, a deep aching in our hearts to be with You in more than what we're experiencing now. Thank You, Jesus. Is there someone here that just wants to speak about? I just felt like one or two people, like in two sentences, just the love of God and how the love of God has changed your life. Because you know what? I can sit up here and I can really preach the love of God. But when we get so used to sharing the love of God with one another, that when we speak about Mel Harris and we look and we see the life that was nearly taken, I was crying this morning. Not because God had moved, not because sin had been pushed back. I was crying because the love of the Father has so impacted a life that it's manifested in healing. that it's manifested in darkness being pushed back. It's not about the miracles, the signs and wonders. It's about the love of the Father just bursting through and taking a hold of hearts and lives.
Jim just asked me to come and start off. And for me, the love of God has transformed everything. It has changed everything. Friends, I don't even think we've begun to realize how deep the love of God is. It has so deeply impacted me that I would willingly lay down my life for any single one of you. And I mean that so sincerely, that when Stephen cried out, when he was being stoned, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." How do you forgive people that are throwing stones at you in absolute hatred? I know before it looked like a noble thing, like, wow, that's so noble. No, he was being controlled by the love of God. And I feel exactly the same way. This love of God has so impacted me, it literally flows through my veins. And I cannot get enough of His love. I am addicted to His love, because His love, there's nothing else. This whole planet is void of love. Like Jimmy was saying, that the love wasn't even in his home. This planet is void of real love. There is only real love in the Father. And that's, this love has changed my life. It has transformed me. And religion has no love. Religion is all about how much do you love God. But Jesus on the cross is how much God loves you. Soak in that, and you will be transformed forever.
It's an unconditional love of God. There's no condition. It's just unconditional. And this morning when Janet spoke about love, and God's in front of you and Jesus in front of you, and Jesus came to my side and He tapped me on my shoulder, and he put three gentle fingers on my shoulder, and He said, "I'm not in front of you and I'm not behind you, I'm walking next to you." And He says, "I just want you to look inside. I just want you to look inside." And He says, "The cornerstone that I'm building inside of you, the heavenly cornerstone I'm building inside of you, the love that I'm building inside of you, it's getting more and more and more." And just by His three fingers touching me, I cannot explain to anybody what the love of God feels like. And He just says, "You must just look around at everybody in the church." And He says, "I'm building the kingdom of God in everybody in this church." And He says, the windows and the doors that you see, they're the doors of your heart opening up. It's a revelation to you. It is a revelation that you don't have to step through. It's opened. And the doors are closed forever that are closed. And He says, "I have got so much love for everybody in this place." And He says, I'm the cornerstone, and I'm building the kingdom in everybody in this body of the church." He showed me everybody, and He showed me doors, and He showed me windows, and He showed me passages. And He says, "I have got such love." And He says, "Just feel my love." And He touched me, and I couldn't stop crying. I said, "Lord, if You put Your arm around me, I'm going to die, because that's how I feel. I couldn't take any more." Just by three fingers, He just touched me, and I said, "Lord, You can't touch me anymore, because I'm going to die now. I can't take any more love than You've shown me this morning." And And he's got it for everybody. And he's in you. He says, look, look at you, and I'm in you. And that is the love that is going to flow out of you, that is in everybody in this church. You have got the best pastors. I'm not just saying it to be the person here. The elders that are building you up and taking you places, they have just opened up doors you actually are not going to believe. You are not going to believe it.
Evening, church. I want to just ditto everything that James and that lady just said. And I have been around the block, a few blocks, a bit of a stray. But yeah, there's two very, very, very important things about this kingdom love that Jimmy's talking about. And it's extremely detailed and extremely personal. And it's the only thing that satisfies. And it, no matter the rugby yesterday, no matter the your wife or your dog or your kid, those things are so good, and they're such a second experience. But the love of God, that's what truly satisfies. That's the only thing that truly satisfies. You can search for everything or anything or have any picture of any expectation in your mind, but only that love of Jesus can satisfy. That's the first step to receiving and enjoying and actually nourishing that love. So when you are at whatever short or dead end that you are at, that love will and does satisfy. The second step to it, because that's just one aspect of it. The second step of it is that it just automatically comes flying out of you. Because like James said, there's a drought out there. There is a physical drought out there. It's not money. It's not business, it's not marriage, divorce. The drought is love. It's missing. And the only authenticity and the realness of it is Jesus on the cross. Exactly like Jimmy said, that is love. And it is the most powerful force on earth. And when you humble yourself and receive it and enjoy it and take it, and then it's automatic to give it because A, I need it. And B, when I've got it, there's nothing better than giving it.
Let's just close our eyes. For some of you, you've never experienced the love of God. I found myself last week saying to someone, how do you describe to someone what lavender smells like unless you've actually smelled it yourself? All of these encouraging words, all of these truths, all of these heart cries, all of these things will not equate to being touched and experiencing the love of the Father. There is no way you can bypass it other than being touched by Him. If you have never experienced the love of the Father, if you have never responded to the name of Jesus, the Word says that if you declare Jesus as Lord, you confess with your mouth, you believe that He was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. The love of the Father is manifest in the person of Jesus. If you've never done that, and you know that that's the one thing that you need to do before this love that you've been hearing about and yearning for and longing for in your hearts, if you have never done that, just lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up your hands to heaven. Felt a word from God saying that as we receive more of His love, there's going to be no room left for any sickness, anything demonic, any room for the enemy to have his way. You know that we're all built with a bottomless pit that can only be filled by His love. And even then, as we fill and drink of Him, we still never get enough. Every other emotion of joy, every other emotion, we can have enough of it, but we can never have enough of His love. Just stand together. If you feel comfortable, just responding to His love. That's all we want to do. Holy Spirit, as we lift our hands to You, let this week be so precious. Let this week be so intimate. Let this week, let from this moment on, Lord, we want to receive more. We want to receive more. There is so much that Jesus paid for, Lord, that we're still not taking a hold of. And we want to start by saying, give us more of Your love, Lord. Give us more of Your love. Lord, we know that you want to give it to us, Lord, but show us again. You know how each and every single person here was made. You know how you've knitted them together in their mother's womb. You know what each person responds to. Lord, I pray for little surprises for this week that'll just speak of Your love. Lord, people that's gift, love language is just words of affirmation. Would You speak sweet things into their ears? For people whose love language is gifts, Lord, would You surprise them with gifts? Lord, You know each and every single person, how we respond to You, how we enjoy You. The little confirmations, the little signs, all those things, Lord, are just how You're interacting with us. Fill us with Your love, Lord. That when we come across someone in a wheelchair, it's not a case of I should pray for them because I'm a Christian. It's a case of we weep because the love of the Father shows us what it's like to be sitting down for the rest of your life and to yearn and long for what everyone else has. That when we see someone who is blind, that we don't think that we should pray for them because it's the right thing to do, but we are so overwhelmed with the love of God for them that we long to see their sight restored, that they could make their eyes set on color palettes of the sky and of the whole nature and give glory to God. Lord, that we would see those that are hurting and lost, Lord, and we feel like we should pray for them because it's a witness to them because that's what You'd expect from us. But Lord, that we would see being moved by love, Lord, of what it's like to be lost in darkness, to be dead to any form of emotion other than that the enemy provides, and Lord, be coming into a place of ministering the love of God through the person of Jesus Christ. Just feel like a waterfall flowing over some people right now. You don't understand what's going on. It's just the love of the Father flowing over you.
Oh my. worship you until the very end, my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, you're the love of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Make me my plan.
In Kim Walker's words, she says that if you've never, never experienced the love of God, you'll know it. Because if you have experienced the love of God, you know that you know that you know that you've experienced that incredible love that God has for you. And my heart so goes out to those of you who are standing here who say, I know God loves me, but it's never been a tangible thing in my life. I've never felt His love being poured into my spirit. And if you're that person that I'm speaking to right now, I would love you to come to the front. And those that have experienced the love of God, for us just to pray for you, because it's the most empowering thing. We've all heard that love is the most powerful force in the universe. And it really is. Although there's a drought of love out there, it still is the most powerful emotion in the entire universe. And if you've never experienced that love, I'd love you to come forward now so we can pray with you. Just come forward, because God wants to love on you. He wants to love on you. He wants to fill you with that incredible love that He has for you. And those of you that are experiencing the love of God, Matt and Michelle, I want you to come and just to pray for these people. Kareen, Jamie, get up. You've got more to give than to just lie on the floor. Just come and just let God love on you. That's all He wants, is He wants to love on you. And the rest of you, you can have coffee, you can come pray for these people. If you've experienced the love of God, come and pray for these people, because they want it. And it's the most powerful thing you can do for them is to give what you've got inside of them away. So, or you can have coffee and just love each other in that way. But, yeah, Jim?
As Jen said, the service is closed, but if you want to just be ministered to, if you want to come and enjoy the love of the Father, you can receive where you are right now. But if you'd also like to just come into the front and just have people come and pray for you and minister to you, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts for everyone. Amen.
I saw this picture of this parent holding this baby, and this baby was very restless, and the baby wouldn't just rest in this parent's arms, and all the parent wanted to do was just hold this baby and love on this baby, and this baby just kept on pushing the parent away. And I don't know if you've ever tried to hold a baby and it just doesn't rest in your arms, but it just keeps on pushing and kicking against you. And this is what I saw, and I just felt like God was just saying that there's someone here tonight, you've been kicking against the love of God because you're afraid of that He's going to hurt you. It was something to do with your parents or your father that's hurt you in your life. You're resisting God. And God is saying, come forward tonight, because He wants to touch your life. I also saw how some people just, they hold back because they don't know, they're afraid of something I've never experienced before, the unexpected. They're afraid of the unknown. And God's just saying, come forward. Don't be afraid, because in me, perfect love casts out all fear.